You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Studio Blank Podcast, episode 17, take 2.
Guys, welcome to Studio Blank, the anime and manga podcast, where you can find all your news, views, and reviews on all things weeb every single week. I'm your host, Paul, with my two co-hosts, Nate and Tim, and we've just had a really good week.
Yep, and we definitely didn't screw up the opening. That'd be wild.
Not at all. I didn't have to redo it just for Tim.
Nope.
No.
Anyway.
Didn't happen.
We're going to hop right into this because we know we gave you guys a 0.5 episode last time where we literally just talked nothing but Tower of God because Tim and I decided that we were going to have a 0.5.
Because Tower's coming back.
So that's news for you guys if you guys wanted to know and you didn't listen to last week's episode. But now I'm going to hand it right over to Tim because he's got all of the spicy news from the last 2 weeks for you guys. Tim, hit me with it.
All right, so we're going to start with obviously one of my favorite series because this thing has been shattering records for 2 fucking weeks now.
Wow, are you saying that these records, these demonic records, are getting slain?
Yeah, in fact, they are. Tanjiro has walked up on all of these records and just
down smashed,
hit them with the water breathing, bro. Just sent them to their resting place. All right.
It's ridiculous, guys. If you haven't been paying attention to anything from the Japanese theater, if you haven't been paying attention to Mugen Train, you're about to lose your mind because it is a top 10 total grossing movie in Japan, period, ever, of all time. 10 million copies, 10 million views. What is it, over a billion yen?
I'm reading the live chat, and the entire live chat is like, comfy, the fuck. So
the bit was, we were going to hand it over to me, and then I still wasn't going to speak, and so I just wasn't prepared that we were just pushing into the bit
Demon Slayer movie.
Demon Slayer movie. Go hit it. I listed a bunch of it, but go.
All right. Top 10 all-time highest grossing in Japan. It's number 10 right now, and it's only been out for 10 days. It will probably hit top 5 based on the pacing it's already done. It's been seen 7.9 million times and sold 10 billion yen worth of tickets. That's not even like, oh wow, like we've had, you know, everyone that sat down and to see it. There are people that are still buying advance tickets because they can only get into a screening in like a week.
I mean, I wish that were me.
I wish we were. Do we need to send our penguin?
I wish I was in Japan to get a penguin to see it right now.
Calling the penguin.
Yeah, pretty much.
Shout out to our friend Pingu from the lovely Australia.
Congratulations to Koyoharu Gotouge for winning the NOMA Publishing Culture Award
because of Demon Slayer.
I mean, actually, it's won it again. This is the second time he's won it for Demon Slayer.
Good to know. But, good job. Yep. Nope. Applause.
But,
so he's that good. I'll do it again.
The whole show is so good. I don't know what and if you've read the manga, you know.
So that's all I want you to know that there are 90.518 million print copies of the first 22 Demon Slayer volumes of the manga. That's not all of them. There are two more volumes to come out. They will break 100 million copies in print by the end of it.
Well, hey, Tim.
It is the second highest selling manga in print ever.
Behind what?
One Piece.
Yeah. Yep. That one's obvious. But so, Tim, speaking of high numbers of manga circulation, did you see what just hit 10 million copies in circulation?
Ah, yes. See, thank you for letting me go with the rest of my bit. Another anime that has been absolutely blowing up this year, Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to read this number to you. Ready?
Yep, go ahead, hit me.
November 9th, 2019, 2.5 million copies in print. By May of 2020, 4.5. This week, they broke 10 million in print.
That's insane.
400% in a calendar year and 230% growth in less than 6 months.
Yeah, I want to
point
out...
During a global pandemic.
I want to point out, well, that's probably because the anime actually came out. Which, to be fair, the main point of most anime, not all, but most, is to sell the manga or light novel.
Yep,
correct.
And I just want to point out, we're going to talk about it later. First of all, we're going to talk about it later. So y'all can, like, hold your horses. But, holy shit. It's good.
Oh,
it's
it's
real
amazing.
Good. It's real, real good.
It's selling
and, like,
well
and
for a
perspective,
good reason.
Right, so, for example, right? Tim, how many chapters would you say are to a volume? Because Demon Slayer has 24, right?
For Jujutsu or just in general?
Just in general, about how many would you say?
Somewhere between 8 and 12.
Okay, so.
Depends on the manga.
One Piece.
It's usually
is
9
over
or 10.
The 10. Is number one. Demon Slayer has officially hit number two, right? Mm. We're hitting that over 10 million copies with sub 24 volume manga. It's insane.
Paul, it's literally only like 15 volumes.
That's what I'm saying.
Demon Slayer's only got 24.
Yeah, my point is we're like breaking this like really early stupid excess number and like we're climbing the ranks on stuff that hasn't even broken what you would normally consider like full volume manga.
I would consider the fact that they had a 400%
yes
sale increase in a year by itself the only thing that they should be excited about. Because like, while 10 million is awesome, that doesn't account for, so Oricon doesn't count digital prints.
Oh, so it doesn't count Viz? Doesn't count? Okay.
No.
Which
so that's
is,
only
I would say, probably
copies.
A good chunk of Western media.
Yes.
Yeah. So
if not a majority.
That's why I'm saying, like, the 400% growth in a year, considering the fact that it's only print copies, is impressive. Yeah. That's the thing that they should be proud of. Not, oh, wow, we broke 10 million copies. No. You broke 10 million paper copies.
Yep.
Yeah.
You sold 10 million copies of this manga. You did your job.
Yep. And the anime's stellar, too.
Oh, it's great so far. Okay. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later. Continue with news.
Yeah. Speaking of shows that we watch and have absolutely bomb-tier manga that are incredibly well-selling, this one's from Araki. I wonder what it could be.
Hit me with it.
It's about the Rohan spinoff for JoJo's. Yeah. It will be streaming globally on Netflix.
I did see that.
In
really? Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Honestly, I'm still excited for it.
But
I
know
really...
what the best part is David Production is doing it again. So
wait, are they?
Yep.
Good. All of the other Rohan OVAs have been not David Production.
Yep.
And you can tell, like, they have interesting stories, but they're not, like, the animation is just off. Because they try for the same style as Part 4 JoJo's, but it's just slightly wrong. Like, the coloring, the drawings, it's not the same studio, so it looks different.
Yeah, no, this one's being done by David, so it will automatically suck less than the other ones.
That makes me immediately happy. Rohan is one of my favorite characters from JoJo's, simply because he's weird as hell and ridiculous. So... And he's the manga artist, so.
That's very true. He is.
Maybe he's a Rocky self-insert.
He literally is. Rohan is meant to be.
Is he really?
Rohan's entire character is the fact that he is a Rocky is like Araki's alter ego, and his way of being part of the story.
I 100% believe that.
I mean,
I'm surprised he took until part four to self-insert himself, but
yeah.
I mean, it could be worse.
Oh, he could have made himself the main character, and that's never good.
Yeah, he put himself in as a character that like is kind of well loved.
I like Rohan a lot, personally. Like
I really love Rohan. I just was like, I have also seen that people are like not very fond of Rohan all the time.
Oh, it's well. I mean, the very first episode that you meet him, he is creepy as hell. Like, he is weird. And then just as it progresses, it gets so much better.
I wish I cared more about JoJo's.
I was gonna make a TikTok joke and be like, he's pretty hit or miss, huh?
I hate you. But
that's how I wanted to literally end that bit. So
the episode with the alien made me like Rohan. That was it. It was the episode with the alien, and then I was like, okay, I like Rohan now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, last bit of news. Hit me with it.
There's like four other things to talk about still.
No, he's gone.
More manga news. Shaman King gets a shoujo spinoff about Kana, Matilda, and Marion.
Yes.
Which, if you still haven't read Shaman King after I bitched and moaned and got very excited about its return like 7 weeks ago or something.
A long while ago.
It's been a long time. Do your fucking job. It's the end of that discussion.
Do your job.
Do your goddamn job. It launches on December 1st. So it'll be available. And also, Shaman King still slaps. Still one of the best shonen shows in my entire goddamn opinion.
You love it so much, don't you?
I stan Shaman King the way Paul stands Haikyuu and
Legend of the Galactic Heroes. See, I know where you're going.
It took you that long. Side note, I found a Legend of the Galactic Heroes like figure pop.
Motherfucker, we're still in the news. Stop. Okay, so there's no more manga news. Cool. So we're on to anime and movies.
Oh my goodness.
We're Kaguya?
Taking so yes. long. Speed run it.
Okay. So, Kaguya Sama season 3 announced. Yay! We're getting an OVA. I'm excited. Honestly, that whole show Kaguya is all of the serotonin I've ever needed. I've turned Tony all of Kawa's my housemates better. Shut the fuck up, you're wrong. That's just objectively incorrect.
Shh, continue.
It's just really good. It's so fucking good.
Yes. It's fun. Yes. It's cute. The characters are all likable, and as the show continues, they keep expanding on the cast.
I just had to throw a spicy take. Continue.
Okay. The you want to know the only reason that Tonikawa could be considered better?
Sure.
Is that it's second actually season fall is in not love. Going to be Funimation exclusive.
You mean third season?
Well, no, the second season of Kaguya is the joke.
Yes, I was saying it's Kaguya's third season.
The second season of Kaguya is Funimation exclusive, so I'm expecting that the third season will be as well. But
Anyway, continue.
At least it
speed run, speed run. We gotta keep on track. Okay. Keep it going.
Horimiya, the third video on their fucking Twitter they put out announced the student council cast. Really cool, very cute. If you like Horimiya, go watch it. I didn't recognize any of the VAs, but I also didn't pay attention particularly hard to the list, because I'm really bad at names. Have fun. Horimiya kicks ass, and it's also incredibly cute.
Yes.
And one more thing. If you watched Violet Evergarden on Netflix and you liked it, the movie that premiered in Japan that did very well in Japan but then got sent to the goddamn trash can by Mugen Train, will be coming to America eventually, but in Japanese theaters.
Coming to Netflix in Japanese theaters.
Well, no, it'll come to U.S. theaters. Okay. And they'll have the same settings. It is getting the Dolby Cinema treatment, so it'll be HDR with Atmos surround sound, and it's gonna be bomb.
Yes.
And if you watched the series on Netflix, the soundtrack and the sound design to that show is absolutely goddamn mint, and I cannot wait to witness it in Atmos.
Yes.
For the movie.
Okay. So, really quick manga news, because it's completely irrelevant, but I saw it.
Hit me with it.
Viz Media is going to be publishing the official English version of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 5 in summer 2021. Which means not only has the manga been out for years, the anime finished the English dub last week, and the next summer they're releasing the manga for it.
Can I point out one last little thing?
Because there's not official English. Go for it.
If you cared at all, Attack on Titan Season 3 has officially got its little voiceover cast list.
Cast.
And, go check that out.
You mean final else. Season. Season 4.
Final season. And yes, as someone in chat has reminded me, the big cry
was
news
the big
of
one.
Them all.
Yeah,
Sony buying
Crunchy.
Yes, that is the big cry.
I want to be clear. We don't know if it's the big cry yet.
They're in talks, and they also owned two other anime streaming sites. So if they do, it is a monopoly on streaming sites.
Well, that's not my problem. My problem is we're getting out of an abusive relationship with AT&T owning Crunchy, but Sony and their streaming services seem to have a more abusive relationship with their.
So here's the thing. Here's my counterpoint, simply because Sony is very Japan-based.
Yes.
Mm.
Crunchy, if they fuck up Crunchy, then they're not going to see the end of it for a while.
That's true.
Oh, no.
And that's not even Crunchy's only on my PlayStation, not on my Xbox, because honestly, Sony'd be dumb to do that. But if they do something that ends up making everybody's lives miserable that uses Crunchyroll, then there you can be sure that there will be very many angry weebs that are angry at Sony.
Yes.
And a lot of people in Japan specifically as well.
They were refused to buy PlayStations.
Yeah. No,
I don't think they'd go that far. They don't actually have self-control. They're just mad on the internet.
I don't know about that.
No.
They've done crazier things for last
year. I would write
some
very angry tweets and then get over it eventually.
Anyway, let's jump into the fun topic real quick, because we've been going for almost 16, 17 minutes on news.
Okay, well, we didn't cover
news
for 2 weeks. I'm sorry. News is normally
a
10-minute
segment. We had a lot of news.
No,
Tim.
We're still behind. Like, we're still on pace. It's fine.
Okay. Anyway.
We're doing fine.
Topic for this week. Pacing.
Speaking of,
well,
Paul, do you get why I was like, we're gonna go really slow and then really fast? It's a part of the bit.
You can't bit me like that. Anyway, pacing.
Everything I do is now a bit.
Pacing.
What? Tim's now living my life.
Jujutsu Kaisen. Good pacing.
Yeah. Something happens.
It's not good pacing. It's absolutely god tier.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the pacing. So I'm gonna give you three examples. We're gonna start with Jujutsu Kaisen as the middle tier. Being the other two will be extremes. So Jujutsu Kaisen, something happens every episode.
Yes.
Something that pushes the story every episode.
Yes.
But it's also making sure to take care and take notes of everything that's happening. It's taking its time, and it's doing it properly.
I want to point out as well that it's not just, like, doing all of these things at once, right? Because, like, we'll see Megami, and we'll see, like, him use his demon dogs. We notice that they come out of the shadow. We notice that there are two of them. We notice that, like, when one of them dies, like,
they have symbols on their foreheads.
Yeah, they'll be gone, right? So, like, in the latest two episodes, right, like, one of the dogs dies, and he's like, I have to go replenish all of my energy to bring them back. Like, they're gone for now. Like, I've used all of it up, because as you find out this latest episode, like, they're created from his shadow, you know. And that's the whole crazy thing. And like, Skuna even goes as far to be like, why the fuck did you run earlier? Like, you fucking could have mopped the floor with this fucking special grade if you knew how to use your goddamn power.
That's not what Skuna said.
I mean, it was close.
Skuna was just like, mm-hmm. you have a good cursed ability, and if you, like, didn't suck at your goddamn job, you would have just mopped the floor with him. But
you're both saying the same thing.
Yes. Well, that's my point.
So we have Jujutsu Kaisen, right? Like, right, that's right. Like,
so the point of that is, like, even in the pacing of the episodes, you're learning mm-hmm. progressive things about his ability, and not just his ability, the way that he thinks about using his ability. So even in okay. your pacing setup, it's not just like things are happening. You're learning progressively more about each character and their identity and their ideology and why they're doing what they're doing. Because even, like, for example, you, like, get this whole point of contention between Itadori and Megumi, because, like, Itadori's like, I gotta save this dude, and Megumi's like, I had no intention of saving this dude in the first place, he's in this, like, this detention spot for a reason, fuck this guy. And Itadori's like, but he didn't die a proper death. And you have this, like, whole conflict point, and you, like, progressively learn more and more about that as the episodes go on. And I'm not going to spoil much of this
we'll
episode
talk more
we'll
about,
talk about
it later.
But, like, the pacing allows for character development to be done not just as a character, but as a character in relation to other characters, so you get multiple areas of character development at once. Bad example.
God of High School, because
marriage
the things
episode.
That happen. So, someone from an anime only, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of episodes that, as you guys have said, and I've talked to you, were arcs, were yeah. stories, were things that happened. Like, the wedding episode was like 10 chapters and had higher stakes and had things happening. In the anime, it felt like a throwaway write-in episode because somebody said you need to have a wedding in your anime.
They're over here like Kobe trying to hit a trash can with a paper towel ball without looking, and it just,
but the trash can's in the other room and the door's closed and the fan's on, like
like
no, yeah, it's like that's what it is. It felt
it,
like
it, it's that
it felt
and
like a hot springs
and is literally like Steph Curry from half court just dropping a dime and then like walking away as it flies through the air.
Yeah, and so like you're getting in Jujutsu Kaisen, you're like, getting that even pacing, but in God of High School, like that wedding episode, both of you told me is like, that was 10 chapters. There was so much more. There was so much going on. There was so many stakes. There was so many reasons. And they brought all the information to you. But the problem being that when I watched it, it felt like a Hot Springs episode where, fun fact, guys, if you didn't know, the distributors were literally tell anime companies, you have a cool show, but where's the Hot Spring episode? And they need to throw in a Hot Spring episode for the sake of it. Huh. That's not every show, obviously. But they're, like, apparently, like, for example, when Rooster Teeth was bringing Ruby to Japan and they were talking with Warner Brothers Japan, Warner Brothers Japan said, okay, but where's your Hot Spring episode? We need your Hot Spring episode. And they said, we don't have one because that's stupid as shit. And then they went through anyways. But that's, like, it felt like something that was thrown in. It didn't feel like there was weight to the wedding episode. It felt so empty. Is like, that's the best word I can use for it. It feels empty. It doesn't feel like there was anything there.
They called it in, and they were going to order their pizza, and somehow ordered, like, an anchovy sandwich.
They got an anchovy sandwich.
Other good example, Tower of God.
Tower of God, I feel like, so... Tower of God isn't the Jujutsu Kaisen good example, but it's a great example because what they did was they took what they could and fit it into the episodes that they had, and then where they could cut fat, they did, and then they replaced it with other character development
yes.
moments. So, as we've noted from the Tower of God anime, there are scenes that are completely different, but they don't feel out of place.
Yes.
Like the biggest example being when Bam went to go do his individual test with the administrator and basically everyone started fighting. In the webtoon, Rack and Kun play the antagonists, and then everybody else says, fuck you, we're gonna do it anyways, and then they go join them. Versus in the anime, they play the antagonists and people call them out for it, and everyone says, like, yeah, we're all on the same page, let's go together.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't take away from the character development that was in the webtoon. It actually builds on it, but it's a different scene and it's something that took less time and they were able to fit in better.
I was going to make the specific point that, like, the pacing has everything to do with the relationships between the characters in Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's none of the actual experiences mattered as much as the way they presented the relationships, because I think first and foremost, Tower's like entire thesis is like the relationships that you build as you go up the tower, because like you're doing your job, but as long as you build the relationships that you need to while you're doing it, like you will succeed, thus repeating the formula.
So, like, and even then you have your episode one pacing. You introduce Bam, his relationship with Rachel, and his relationship with the tower.
Yes.
So you have the two main characters that you're going to be following, and you have their antagonist, referring to the tower as the antagonist because they're essentially fighting it. Yeah, that's not obviously true. That's not obviously like directly true, and there's more to it than that. But for the sake of argument, it sounds that's good. Then in episode two, you get his relationship with Kun,
and
you also get a not yet,
kind of.
That's pretty
no.
Well,
that's in three. So in two, you get his relationship with Kun, and you get a Nock Hotz and Shibasu's relationships.
Yes.
So you have this trilogy of characters over here, and you're expanding on your main character, and then you also introduce Rack. So now you have this. Then you introduce Leroro, and then you introduce that other trilogy, and then you start merging these characters. Then you start pulling in the auxiliary characters, and by the time you get to episode five, you have the full cast.
Yep.
And you know all of their relationships with each other. And there's a few odd characters here or there.
And the
like
problem
Dorsey,
is that
but...
in God of High School, for the example of bad pacing, right? You had the three characters. They meet in the first episode. It's all kind of super speedy.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you get to this wedding episode and everybody's kind of just like, yeah, you shouldn't get married. Nah, fuck that. That dude's a dick. Oh, wait, you don't want to do that. Oh, look, he's taking your sword. And like nobody actually has any correlation to each other other than the immediacy of the previous episode.
Exactly. It honestly, watching it as an anime, it felt like they were friends due to the situation rather than actually having any relationship with each other.
So this is what I almost want to say about this, is they structured the opening of that anime, because the latter part's better, but the opening of that entire anime was literally just tournament arc, and they didn't give a shit about what was going on except for the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. No, 100%. There was no focus.
Yep.
And I guess, honestly, at the end of the day, that's what the pacing is about as well. It's the where is the focus of the show? Is are you focusing on building the plot? Are you focusing on building the characters? Or are you focusing on just moving forward with what you have on paper? Because a significant amount of animes come out based on a manga or a light novel and now webtoons. So, like, they have something to go off of, and they can try to just burn through it, or they can try to give it the attention it deserves.
Yep.
And it's really easy to say, that's a super cool point in the story. I want to hit that point in the story. But if you don't take the proper care getting there, then it's irrelevant.
Like,
because then the weight doesn't matter.
And then Tim and I talked about this when it was airing very specifically, is we were like, if you get to the Ilpio Mori fight and you don't set that up correctly, you fuck the entire ending of the series.
And I can totally see, like, we didn't talk to any of the other characters or have any interaction with them until they were fighting, and the interactions ended when the fight ended. Like, and then they were gone, and that was it. That was the last time you saw them. And so Ilpio being such a large character, like, you need to throw his background in. So they would have been required to, but if they didn't do it properly,
and to be fair,
you know,
like the webtoon did a lot of it, but it did a lot of it in like in between panels. If like you think back to it, Tim, you know what I mean? Like we had these moments of like in between panels in the middle of or just before the fights. You know, we weren't getting a lot of like in story.
There was a lot of like inner monologuing that gave a lot of expositionary content that is a lot harder to do when you have a 25 minute, you know, allotment. And realistically speaking, when you hear God of High School and it's a shonen, you're going, I want to see the fucking tournament arc.
Yep. And to be fair, MAPPA blew themselves out of the fucking water with animation in God of High School.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And
I think God of High School might be the peak of animation in shows right now.
I'm waiting for Jujutsu Kaisen to finish up the season and then talk about that.
I'm saying as of right now,
yes.
Jujutsu Kaisen is also MAPPA, and they're fucking killing it as well. But my point being, God of High School, as of right now, I think might be the standard. Like, that's the gold standard.
Just as the point of information for you, Jujutsu Kaisen is being directed by Sung-Hoo Park, who was the animation and fight coordinator for, and the script supervisor for God of High School.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And their animation director is the one for AOT.
That explains a bunch of those shots from the trailer. I totally... Yes.
Do you understand how we're going to get... We're getting three shows back-to-back, basically by the same team, that are just going to be absolute fucking bangers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
On an animation standpoint.
Other forms of pacing.
The pacing can suck on all three of them.
Other examples of pacing. Good and bad pacing.
Give us a good slow example.
A good slow example?
Yes.
Oh, just let's be classic and go to Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
I was going to go to One Piece. One Piece's pacing is...
I haven't watched enough of One Piece to say that, right? But, like, I was going to go to Full Metal because, like, it's, like, a Class A standard.
So Full Metal, I think, actually had decent pacing.
Yes.
Full Metal Brotherhood,
but it was
not
also
Alchemist.
Slower. Like, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, but you can have the pacing that's slower. You can have the Inuyasha pacing. You can have, like, the Hunter Hunter pacing, like, just after the Tower of Heaven exams. Like, all of that pacing in those sections was much, much slower than stuff we saw in God of High School, much slower than stuff we saw in Tower and all these other things that we've already talked about, you know? But it was still well done, and you still had the character development, and all the little interactions felt like they mattered.
I think the problem is when we're comparing, like, the slow, like, that really gradual pacing, is... A lot of those shows aren't in a seasonal bracket.
I was just going to say,
like, bringing up One Piece, like, any of those shonen shows, the pacing is... ReZero Season 2's pacing was good.
So the problem with using ReZero, and I want to talk about this, is this is something that, like, I've had enough time to think about. The problem with using ReZero Season 2, especially, as a marker for pacing is ReZero Season 2 didn't progress. Like, in the sense that, like, there was a lot of lateral development,
which
allowed it to be incredibly slow-paced.
I want to make the point of...
forward development, which I'm not saying is a bad thing.
No. Finish your point, then I'll make mine.
Supposed to be a lot of forward development.
Right.
The pacing that ReZero Season 2 held... is absolutely unacceptable.
So, see, like, the reason
why I brought that up as particular as an example, Paul, is because, like,
so the point, I enjoyed the pacing of ReZero Season 2, but that actually lends itself, that you're making the perfect point of, it is a, they need to know where to focus. Is it a lateral move or a longitudinal move? And because ReZero Season 2, I liked the pacing of it, but you're 100% right. It made zero steps forward in the grand scheme of themes and was all lateral. Granted, I loved that because the first season of ReZero did the longitudinal moves and it moved forward a lot in 26 episodes, and they built this massive ocean that was as deep as a puddle, and then they just added depth to it in season two.
What I was going to specifically...
I feel like that combined was really good. But a lot of the times the issue is God of High School is focusing on all longitudinal moves, so you're missing that lateral.
So, like, and the point that I'm making is that the horizontal relational pacing is what solidifies good anime. You can be as vertical
exactly.
as you want, right? But if your horizontal doesn't work, like, it doesn't matter. Like, your horizontal can even be, like, little minuscule slow things. It can be little things like they do in Fairy Tail, right? Which is really a vertical show, right? It's all about
progressing. It's a shonen. It lives to be vertical. But they have those three-episode filler arcs where these three characters build their relationship significantly over that period of time.
It's the
Gray
and Natsu. It's the Laxus versus Natsu. Because
it's literally an hour of just character development. Meanwhile, Fairy Tail is an anime. If you watch the full arc, it's about 100 hours of jack shit happening. Like, and obviously characters develop and character relationships change. But it's a shonen fight anime where my friends are my power. So
again, the problem I'm stating here is those traditional shonens that do not follow a seasonal format
exactly
get to have as much vertical and as much horizontal as they want, because you're gonna keep watching week to week because they never fucking stop.
Exactly. So, but like, the problem with One Piece, like you brought up, is they sometimes get a little too stagnant.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
And if I stopped watching, because they went horizontal, but not in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that ReZero Season 2 did a very good job of pacing itself so that its horizontal expansion was enjoyable the whole time, yes, regardless of what you were actually watching and how that made you feel.
100%.
But if you were looking for them to, like, actually ever get out of Sanctuary in the first 13 episodes,
you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to hate that season. It was exactly. Not,
yep.
Like, I wanted to see them at least make the attempt, like, one final attempt where, yeah, like, they were, maybe he successfully saved the mansion and was on his way back.
And
like,
see,
I know what's coming in the light novel. Like, I know, yeah, that, like, I shouldn't expect that, but part of me was still like, that's all I want to see, is I just want to see some goddamn forward.
And you know what's funny? I hate to be that guy and cut people slack where it's undeserved, but we do need to remember that ReZero Season 2 is planned 25 episodes.
I know.
Cherry literally just said that in chat as I was saying it.
Can,
like,
I make another
literally
point?
Popped up.
Interestingly, but,
like,
enough.
Go for it.
Again,
I think,
I'm not saying that the pacing for ReZero Season 2 was bad.
No. I'm on the same page as you. I'm on the same page. I know you're playing devil's advocate.
I just want to point out that I think another good thing about pacing is
all
that
three of us agreeing at the same time would not be good content. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think the other thing about pacing that makes it good is the fact that pacing that reflects some form of, like, human experience, as in separating yourself from an outside set of circumstances. Like, for example, yeah, right? Like, in ReZero, we kind of have an outside eye, right?
Yes.
But if you put ourselves, like they do in that show, inside Subaru's head and his experiences and, like, let us live his day-to-day, the pacing works because we're inside a thing and going, oh, I remember how it feels to have every day feel the same and be absolutely futile. Like,
yeah,
that's a human experience and emotion.
That's 2020 at its finest, motherfuckers.
But, like, the point is, like, the pacing, because they set up the world so that horizontal pacing feels relational to not just the characters, but, like, what's the word relatable to us, right?
Yeah.
God of High School's pacing wasn't relatable to us because we're like, what the fuck? You're just getting married and, like, all of these things. You know what I mean? Like, Jujutsu Kaisen, we're still getting, like, day-to-day pacing that feels relational. Like, and now I'm on a new job. Now I'm doing this. Like, oh, God. Like, these... Oh,
well, it's also...
Hey,
it's
I
introducing the
in.
World to you in such a good order of... Because... So, God of High School was... We fight. We fight harder. Magic. Hey, guys, we know we made it through the first 7 episodes, so we decided to actually pace ourselves for the last 6. So, we didn't really explain the world, but you just live with it for the last 6, and we'll be good. Because the pacing at the end of God of High School was fine. It was just...
Here's the thing.
Wow.
If God of High School could have been a 24-episode season...
Prime.
The pacing in the last 6 episodes, if they just managed that the whole season, it would have been the show to beat this year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the animation is...
Stellar.
Top tier, by far. Like, yep. I don't expect anything other than JJK and AOT to be better at all, and that's purely because the same team that put one of them together is putting together all 3.
Yes.
Like,
MAPPA is straight up killing it this year.
Like
they've been good, but they just came out of nowhere swinging this year. and have beaten everybody back.
I was going to say, the only other studio that I would expect this quality from, like, consistently, is Ufotable.
And even then, they're here and there and everywhere. And the last time we had a good show was Fate, and that's been a while. And then we got Demon Slayer, which, again, just knocked out of the park. Just so, flawless.
And so all this banger. Point about, and also this point about pacing is, like, in relation to the fact that, like, they also, for the love of God, understand your source material.
Yeah. Well, it's like all the back to the Tower of God thing. Tower of God had 13 episodes, and they fit everything that was needed in those 13 episodes perfectly.
Yep.
They hit 12 episodes and had the epilogue, and it was the pacing compared to the webtoon. Did they miss a couple things? Yes. Were those things that they missed completely irrelevant regardless? Yes. The, like, they missed conversations about like Yuri talking to Evan about Phantominium, and that Phantominium's an irrelevant character. He doesn't matter. Like, he's cool, he's lore, but he doesn't exist in the actual universe. As of right
now.
Do
you want to know what the coolest thing about Phantominium is?
Please tell me.
Getting to do the same shit that Tumblr girls used to do back in 2010 through 2014 about fucking Sherlock on BBC. Just get excited. Write conspiracies. That's the whole thing. That is all that Phantominium's good for. That's his entire goddamn existence.
Exactly.
For the last
decade,
that's been his job. Is
context,
just to exist.
Phantom. All of the information we know about Phantominium in Tower of God is that he is the strongest person to ever climb the tower. Uruk climbed the tower because he was chasing Phantominium. Phantominium walked into the king's court, slaughtered everyone, and left without a word. That's the only information we have about him. We don't know what he looks like, sounds like, or we don't know anything about his personality or character. We just know he was the strongest, he's an irregular, and he came from nowhere. That's like it.
And that he's an Axis.
That's it. We know he's an Axis. You're right. But that's like, we don't know where he came from. We don't know if he was
where
a messenger
from
the god outside.
Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Well, it's so, like, we have so much more information about Enryu.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a more relevant character. And he's also one of those, like, most powerful characters.
It's just, and this is my point. Like, in all of the end of this is shows that know their source material and shows that try and build horizontal, even if it's like bits of horizontal as opposed to the whole horizontal show. Like, because, for example, Tonikawa is literally a horizontal show. There is no such thing as vertical movement in the show.
That's literally a lie.
Shh.
There is vertical movement. At one point he almost sees her naked.
No. There is true vertical movement.
But the point is, like, almost all of it is done to establish the horizontal relationships between characters. And every so often those characters have a vertical movement that establishes more of their horizontal relationship. And we just kind of getting new characters that, like, also do the same. So it literally is like you're building a Christmas tree. You know?
Well, it's you're building Legos. Right?
You're building the base.
You can build up as much as you want, but if you don't build out from the very beginning, then it's going to be wobbly near the top. And the longer you wait until you start building out, the less structure you're going to have. And by the time you get there, you might be able to build out the most beautiful horizontal structure, but if there's nothing supporting it, then it's just going to topple.
Yep.
You know.
There you go.
I have a real life experience that works very well with the analogy that you went for.
Go for it.
My housemates and I play a game known as Tricky Towers. Think of it a lot like Tetris, except it's 4-player competitive. And
I know this game. Yes, I've seen Mr. Fruit play it.
Yes. So, just imagine 4 18 to 22-year-olds intoxicated playing this game. And there are 3 modes. There is puzzle, survival, and race. And race is that exact mode where it's like, all right, cool, I get to be a shonen, and I just go vertical as fast as possible. Survival, on the other hand, is like, all right, you have to find that middle ground pacing.
I want to point out to the chat really quick. This is Tetris, but they're not static Tetris pieces. There's physics.
Yes.
With them. So if you have an L piece that's sticking off most of the way, it's going to flip and fall off and you'll lose a life, and you have 3 lives per falling pieces.
For survival.
We should try it, honestly.
It's a very fun game. You guys should play. And then you have puzzle. And now puzzle is my favorite mode as both an engineer and as someone that likes to turn it into a drinking game.
Oh, no.
So the way that puzzle works is you're given a starting piece. Think of it as your source material. This is what you have to build off of. This is what you're working with. Whether you like it or not, this is what you were given. Figure it out. And then they give you a random assortment of pieces, one at a time, and you have to stick as many of them on there as possible. And the objective is to do what ReZero Season 2 did. Go wide.
Because you have a cap.
You have a cap.
You have a limit of how far forward you can go.
Yes. How wide can you get in as short a period as possible? So, hey, wow, you have a 13-episode season because you had to split it in half because of a global pandemic? Go wide, bro. Go wide. Expand. Expand as far as you can.
Well, so here's the thing. Tell me this. If you had a 13-episode season of God of High School, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And they ended teasing Chariox.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with that.
I would have been okay with that. As long as the rest of it was horizontally done well. Like,
no, that's they could have done a 13-episode season horizontal, end at the season, and tease Chariox for season 2.
Mm-hmm. And it would have been
because by the time that you end that, you've gotten a couple of people using them, and then you could literally end on like Q's apartment blowing up. Like, or something along those lines where there's an aspect of something's happening.
Yeah, like you could sit there and
they probably would have ended with Mori fighting and just with the dragon fruit, with Mori and the dragon fruit.
Well, no, you could have ended with the scene of like Q's apartment getting blown up and
I think that because you leave it as is Q alive? Why the hell did that dragon come out of nowhere and what's the magic happening? And what's the progression going to be? Where does this go? Because the national tournament has now just turned up to 12.
Yeah, like, exactly. I think that would have been a great place to end it, and it would have been a great 13-episode season.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
I'm excited to see what Jujutsu Kaisen has for us. Guys, we're going to be talking about Jujutsu Kaisen and Tonikawa Over the Moon next. Stay tuned for that real quick. We'll be right back after our quick little ad break for Rare Drop Roleplay. Hey guys, Paul from Rare Drop here. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update because we've officially launched our Rare Drop Roleplay brand with 3 separate campaigns for you to enjoy. It all starts on Tuesdays with Rare Drop Roleplay Reckoning Hour, hosted by Captain Robear and crew. On Wednesdays, our roleplay adventures continue as T-Rex hosts Rare Drop's Bizarre Adventure. And then we cap the week off with our third roleplay campaign on Sundays, Ancient Relics and Hokey Religions, hosted by our friends at J&J Tabletop. We hope to see you this week for some amazing fun and creative storytelling. And don't forget to check out the website for the latest content, merch, and updates on all things Rare Drop. Hope to see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back.
We just caught Tim venting.
Studio Blank, where Tim has been venting into Medbay.
Yeah, apparently I'm venting in Medbay and
I just
trying
button,
to survive
so.
What is hopefully my last fall semester of college.
We're praying
to the anime gods that I get to have my tournament arc where I get to win.
Cherry, I'll send you some videos.
You know it's not a tournament arc this season though?
Mm.
Jujutsu Kaisen.
Are you kidding me? It's a giant tournament arc.
It's not.
He's just competing with himself.
No, he's competing with the fingers. He's competing with the fingers. It's it's a tournament, but it's him versus Sukuna, and then somebody wins, and they go up, and then it's him versus Sukuna, and then somebody wins, and they go up, and then it's him versus Sukuna, and then somebody wins. It's a tournament arc.
I told you, Paul. It's a competition.
It's who can
to
eat
see
more
how
fingers?
Many fingies. Who can eat the most fingies? And right now, Itadori is winning by one.
Tim, we're gonna get so many chicken tenders, and
to
we're gonna
fair,
have
actually,
a competition. We're gonna have a Jujutsu Kaisen competition.
Or he
That's
hasn't.
A lie. That's a lie.
He hasn't.
Skuna was in control when he ate the one with Fushiguro. And
so it's 2-1. It's 2-1, right? Guys.
It's
okay.
2-1.
Wait,
can we do
wait,
a weekly
but
fingie
it's in
counter?
Itadori's body. So does that mean technically, it's 3-0?
No, because the question is Itadori his soul or is he his body? Because Sukuna, when controlling his body, has full control.
Yeah.
And he even adds his own additions to his body. So I would say that Itadori's body isn't even his own anymore, and it's 50-50. Especially considering he has a second set of eyes and another mouth on his cheek.
Or his hand. Or his shoulder.
Or his...
Or wherever Sukuna wants
you,
to present
himself. You get the point that I'm saying. Sukuna has... a significant amount of control on his body, but not full control unless he's in the driver's seat. It's kind of like two people going for a lease on the car.
At one point, and he's just like, switch with me already.
Listen, Itadori's name is on the lease, but they're both on a road trip, so they gotta swap off every once in a while.
I was gonna say, it's like the time that I drove to Orlando for GCX. I'm only in control for so long before I lose it, and I have to give it to someone else.
Exactly. And then if they eat more tendies than you, then you know what? They technically own the car.
Then I have to be
car.
Back in the driver's seat to eat all the tendies.
It's the competition.
It's a competition. How many... Can I drive more hours than you?
I think I drove more hours than you, Tim.
One way, yes. Round trip, no.
No.
round trip, it almost equals.
Round trip. I think anyway. Round trip, I did more than what you did one way.
I think so, but it's like not. But it's what you were like what 20 hours down and back up, right? Per.
23.
Yeah, I was like 36 total, so like. Or yeah. closer to 40 with all the stuff, so
yeah.
It about levels out.
Anyway,
any hoozles.
Itadori is my favorite.
I
love Fushiguro. Don't get me wrong.
Megumi
is like
Jujutsu Kaisen is so good. The
Megumi's
characters
like the dope
are great.
Brother, who you're like, I like you. You're cool. Come be my like best friend forever. But like Itadori is like. The older brother who's just like, hey guys, so I got in trouble and I'm gonna be gone for a bit, but I'm gonna go kick some ass, so I'll be back. And then comes back with like 15 trophies and is like, hey guys, oops.
What's the girl's name?
Nobara.
I love her because she's the full I hate everything tsundere, and then whenever there is a light moment, her and Itadori are the same person.
It's
so
hilarious.
You can tell that that's what she's really like, and she's just so betrayed by her actual emotions. Because she's like, I hate everything. Everything's
sushi!
Bad. You're all bad people. And then like her and Itadori are doing like little dances and like, we're going into Tokyo. We're gonna go get lunch. Like they do the little like dances and happy the like the Funimation like chibi shit.
We need to take a 2 seconds. Because that ending is still the best ending of the season. No holds barred.
No, which it's one? The best ending of 2020. I'm actually pretty sure it's the best ending of the last 2 years of anime.
Yes. What, the ending,
like
the ending
of Jujutsu
song?
Kaisen, where they're like dancing like to the music
the
and like
sequence.
They're getting ready, and then you have like Gojo Sensei come with the shades on and the full jacket, and it's just like, sup, dudes.
Okay, but to be fair, Rent a Girlfriend had four girls
in a button down.
No, listen, Rent a Girlfriend had four girls like doing cheerleading while you had the main character in the middle shaking a soda. Like,
I don't know.
Oh,
Jujutsu Kaisen's, it's better.
that one was just so funny.
Oh no, Reg's ending sequence was top tier.
It's
but
hilarious.
I'm sorry, when when all four of them show up and they all got the drift,
are just vibing
and they're just bopping along, you can't tell me that that's not just absolutely the
it's
the
like the best choice of music too, on top of the fact that like they did a really raw animation style for fun, and then they also animated it at half speed so it feels groovy to the music. Like, it's just so perfect.
I want to point out that while I was catching up with Jujutsu Kaisen, I watched the first episode, then skipped the end credit sequence because I needed to watch the next episode. And Paul stood up and walked over and said, "Why did you skip the ending?" And I was like, "Because I need to watch another episode." And he's like, "Fine.
Put it back."
Well, no, because he was speed watching, and I was just like,
"I get it.
I understand." And I went and got a drink and was like, "It's fine. Like, I'm not happy about it, but it's fine."
When you can cut 3 minutes out of every episode, it makes it a lot easier to binge.
Yes.
True.
So
anyway, so I just wanted to point that out real quick because it's so good. But my point
is,
it's
a great time.
Gojo Sensei is my favorite.
Oh, he's from the second episode, I was sold on him.
Gojo Sensei is
that
the
fight
Itachi.
Scene.
Gojo Sensei is the Itachi of the universe. He's the absolutely. I know exactly what I have to do.
Listen.
I know I'm overpowered. I know if I really need to, I could sacrifice myself, but we're not doing that yet because that's not what I need to do because I'm actually overpowered.
So the moment we hit episode 2 and we had the panning camera shot where he laid his head back.
Is that current right now?
Do not compare Gojo and Itachi, because you know what happens when a character gets compared to Itachi?
They
end up fucking dead. And if you do that to my mans, I'm going to drive down there and actually put knives in your ribcage.
Oh, cool. Oh, so I get a new roommate. Compare him to Itachi.
Exactly. Anyway, but
no,
you
so
understand
Tim,
what I'm talking about.
Like,
he's just like the casual. I'm like,
he's
badass.
The mentor figure that,
yes.
Like, he's
no,
comparable
so,
to Itachi in that. And like,
Itachi,
ever since that,
he's
the intro
Kakashi,
in the
Itachi,
second episode. In the second episode, you watch him fight Sukuna, and the moment where he is back to back with Sukuna, and he leans his head back and he says, "I'm gonna show off a little bit." I was like, "I like him. Yeah. That he's the one. He's my boy."
Talking about the fact that he really wasn't showing off. That was like casual.
No, that's the thing. He was so casual about everything. He's just chilling out, and it's the animation and everything. It was the perfect 360. The we're going to keep going, and then it just hits.
Yep.
Like the animation was up at 11, and it slowed down to like a 5. And then it turned right back up.
I'm asking this question from Tim, just because he's read forward and he knows where I'm talking about. That was casual. The showing off starts when he takes the blindfold off.
No.
I mean, that's what happened in the thing.
If you think he started showing off when the blindfold comes off, you haven't even seen him close to full power yet.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
But like that's him showing off to Itadori, being like, "Let me just hold, and we're gonna do this, we're good."
No. See, this is what you think Gojo showing off looks like. Gojo showing off looks like this. Putting it back on, and going, "Okay, my domain is down. Now we can play games."
Oh.
That's him showing off. When he goes, "I don't even need to be able to see you, and I don't need to have my immediately 100% auto hit on. When I can turn off my auto aim and go, I'm going to lay back and just let it happen." That's when you know he's actually decided he's flicking the switch to show off.
It's a pretty, pretty good reason.
See,
that's
I
how extra
this
either. Satoru Gojo is.
I love him.
That is
he's
why
such
he's
a,
the best character.
He's such
this
a
season.
Fun character too, because he's just like, "Wait, hold this." He's like, "Wait, what? Why?" He's like, "I bought souvenirs."
Is the Kickafuku? Yeah.
Yeah, and then even
I
in the most
would
recent,
make sure that those don't get knocked over.
And then also in the most recent episode, he's like, "I'm leaving, guys. don't expect me to get you any souvenirs. Like, he makes a point of, I'm going out and I usually get souvenirs, but fuck you.
Can we talk about the fact that at the end of that episode, when, like, it's not even the end of this, but the end of the fight with, like, Skuna, like, Megumi's sitting back here, like, like, holding this thing like it's a precious treasure, because he knows that Gojo, if he fucked it up, would turn around and be like, you let what happen to my Kifuki?
Mikey Kifuku.
Like, you let what happen? Are you that weak?
You let what they happen to my souvenirs?
Cream in the middle!
So it's just, like, he's just so casual about it. He's so chill. He's just like, yeah. And then, like, we see in these last two episodes, right? He's like, yeah, I could kill all of the elders if I felt like it.
That's not a joke.
No, I understand that. And that's why it's, like, ridiculous. Because he's like, I'm tired of them playing with my students. He's like,
also, you get, like, the, at the end of the day, you get the four, like, the three demons and the one dude talking. And they're like, yeah, we need to deal with him. Because he's the strong one.
Okay.
Like, if we take care of him, we're good, but...
I'll explain, like, I'll give, like, a very light, spoilery version, like, idea of where we are in the manga so that people can understand. In the last 12 chapters, they managed to deal with him purely out of the fact that, like, he kind of just... wasn't prepared for the shenanigans, and also decided, you know what, I can either win and murder everyone in a 2-mile radius, or I can lose and almost no one dies. And, like,
so he's like, so let me get this straight, he's pulling the Itadori of, like, so I can pull Skuna out and win, or I can lose and nobody but the bad guy dies.
Yes.
So he just pulled the big version of the Itadori in the beginning. He's like, and this is the decision. Okay.
Yeah. So
good luck, have fun, guys.
And oh god. It's really, like, when you're reading it, you're witnessing it, you're like, oh fuck, oh shit, oh fuck, oh shit, oh fuck, oh shit, oh fuck, oh shit, oh fuck. Because it's just bad. None of it's good. Like, there is not a good moment. When they talk about, like, oh wow, Jujutsu sorcerers die with regrets, I'm not going to spoil who and or what dies, but just remember, guys, this is real life. People die. And it's bad.
Well,
that's the other reason I like the,
like,
show.
Not the most recent episode, but the one before it, like, Itadori walks in and he's like, we found a dead body. This is that woman's son. We should bring the body back. And it's like, why? It's like, she wants to know about her son. Her son's dead. We should bring the body. He's like, okay. But this guy has, like, two DUIs and was on, like, a work release program right now. He's kind of a piece of shit, and he died, and I don't think we should waste our breath on it.
Well, like, and not even just that. Like, Fushiguro literally goes, I had no intention of saving him in the first place.
Like, we're not in the business of rescuing. Like,
I mean,
that's not our job. Our job is
it was kind of that job, but he also, the moment that, like... That was the other part that I'm enjoying about the show, is they're showing the visceral, immediate reactions to things not going well. Like, the moment they step inside with this domain, Fushiguro's literally like, fuck, 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 fuck. We're dead.
And then, like, they barely even get to the special grade curse, and he's like, we can't.
Yeah.
We don't
stand a chance. And then even then...
then he doesn't want to forsake Itadori because he's like, no, like, you're a good person. This guy is a shit person. Like, I'm okay with that. He's like, I'm not okay with you dying, especially since I dragged you into this mess.
And I love that Itadori's whole, like, they go... Like,
stop.
They go on that excerpt of, why did you save Itadori in the first place? He's like, the first time I met Itadori, he was basically throwing down his life to save another one of his friends. So, like, he has to be a good
selfless person.
Exactly. So, because
of
that point,
to be selfish.
It was It was, he's a good person, and I can tell that, and I don't let good people die.
Yep.
Like, and so that was his point. And you get that insight into his character as well, of that's his moral, is if there's a good person, he doesn't want to let them die. But other than that, he holds no reservations.
Yep. Yep. There, and that is what we call lateral movement.
That's, and that's what this show does. It gives you, it gives you longitudinal movement and stacks the lateral with it. So you're getting this solid base to build on. Yep. Because in 20 episodes, you don't need to introduce new characters, and you can do shitty fight scenes and whatever, but as long as you have that base.
Yeah. So I think one final point about Jujutsu Kaisen that I think I want to bring up is I normally don't do gore thriller. I don't.
No, I hate it usually.
I am
personally
loving this.
It doesn't feel gore thriller.
It's thoughtful. It's not gore and death for the sake of gore and death. You know what I mean? Because that's generally the problem I have with gore and thrilling, like a bunch of thrillers, is they're just like, ha ha, yeah, chainsaw, lop somebody's head off, and there's blood everywhere.
It's not a question of how does it fit in the story. It's how much can our VFX budget do?
Yes.
I will say that there is a lot of wanton, like, gore and just absolute, like, it feels over the top later in the series.
Yeah.
But it, like, it makes sense in context, but it's still like, why? Why did we need to be that graphic?
Well, so like, I also think that. I also think
wanton destruction is.
I think
that's going
it's also going to end up being a little bit less so, just because it is an anime. We're going to have the scenes where like Skuna chops off the arm, and like you just see the arm here, and the dude like gushes some blood in the teeth and stuff, and like the blood's all gushing out, and like there's going to be limbs going everywhere when he splits the dude in six pieces, and it's like, oops. I was only trying to get you in three. I'm thinking they're going to be more like that than. I mean,
Paul, you've read some of the manga.
Yes.
How many of those aren't just direct rips?
It's
that
pretty
that
close.
They've already done.
It's pretty close. So,
like, I would not be surprised if when it comes time for Skuna to just put somebody into six pieces, that we're going to witness it live and in 60 frames.
Yeah.
It's
probably 24, but
it'll be on my 144 hertz monitor. It's still going to hurt me inside regardless of the frame rate.
I'm just really excited. It's going to be good. I expect I'm going to get emotionally attached to Itadori as a character.
That's okay. He's got plot armor. It's fine.
See, the problem is I think they're smart enough to not pull the Superman. Like,
and what?
So, I mean, so I'll put it this way. When I say
the
that,
joke is that he has plot armor. That's where I was going with that. He doesn't actually, but he has.
That's
the
point.
Is,
it's like I'm hoping that the writers are good enough that I don't have the Superman problem of Justice League or Batman v Superman, which is like, oh, look, Superman died. Oh, wait. Superman didn't actually die to the one thing that can kill him. Thumbs up. You know what I mean? Like, and then you never actually have to worry about Superman dying ever again, because like now the only thing that can kill Superman has already killed him, quote unquote. So like, we're good now. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem that DC has already. And so like in Jujutsu Kaisen, we already have the, oh, look, Itadori died. Oh, wait, he can't really die because Skuna is a fucking badass. Thumbs up.
I will explain to you this. That plot armor does come into play a couple of times throughout the manga.
Of course.
But it usually has a pretty good reason. They managed to make it not, well, oh, because Skuna. It's right. Like, okay, well, yeah, no, that makes sense. And okay, so someone literally revived him there. Okay. Right. They missed all of his vital organs, so... realistically it's just a flesh wound.
yeah that's what I've been hoping for.
You're just missing two arms, it's fine.
Yeah,
you have a gaping hole the size of a small cannonball in your chest, it's fine.
Yeah it's the true play of the cursed spirit power and all that stuff we've already gotten, you know. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting
I think the worst part is I have literally just listed off ways that people have actually died.
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no That's way fine. That we would spoil that for people who haven't read the manga.
Oh, no. Here's the thing is, the best part is not a single one of those people that I named were named characters.
Oh, there we go. They don't
That's
care
even
then.
Better. Good job, us. Randoms.
Well, what's his dick? The dude who was just dead slumped on the wall had no arms, right? Is that what you were on about?
Or no, lower half.
Lower half, sorry.
There's a guy that was bisected. There's a guy that had both of his arms taken off and was bisected. Itadori was the one that, in fact, had a small...
His heart ripped out.
He had a fist-size hole.
No, that's the size of a cannonball. Cannonball's about that big.
Yeah.
So
real quick. Okay. But, so we're going to start running close on time. So I want to hit Tonikawa. I want to go from blood and gore and curses and death.
Gore and curses and death. Got it. Tonikawa is the most hardcore anime that you will watch this season. We have everything. We have waifus. We have bed shopping. We have bathhouse episode.
We have hand-holding.
We have
multiple bathhouse episodes.
Wait. I thought this was an anime, not a hentai. Don't get lewd in here. No.
Wait, so I shouldn't mention the kissing that occurred?
Oh! Ah! Oh my god.
I wasn't going to mention the sleeping together part yet, but that's beside the point. Oh my
god. What the hell's wrong with you guys? I thought
something?
This was a family friendly show.
I didn't know we were
show.
Watching hentai and talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Anyway,
Tonikawa is the most wholesome anime.
Serotonin
they literally say my hand
TM.
Is all you can hold.
No, serotonin
all
TM.
All you can grab.
That's all you can grab.
All you can grab.
I literally lost it at that line. I'm not kidding.
It was such a good line. It was like, I can hold her hand now. It's all I can grab. It's like, yeah, I'm your wife. It's all you can grab now.
So the best part is that she says that, totally inferring the rest. And everybody knows it. And he takes like a full 10 seconds to catch it. And then he's red beat from the ground up and the smoke coming out the ears. And you're just like, yes.
I love that they just keep getting embarrassed by stuff that the other one does. And it's so cute. Like when they're at the bathhouse, he screams out that he loves her. And she's like, that was really embarrassing. But it was only embarrassing. It still made me feel really good.
I didn't like, say that you didn't have to do it again.
I'm just
embarrassed.
It's like you have no situational awareness. Fucking love it, but still. And you have these interactions where they just like they're genuinely trying to care for each other and just figure it out.
I think one of my favorite moments is when like she comes home and she has the whole thought process of she's like, I want to impress my husband when he comes home because he's apparently out doing something for me that I have no idea what's going on, but I want to be a good wife. So let me clean. Yeah. And then goes, wait, everything's impeccable.
Son of a
There's
bitch.
No
I'm
dust.
Impressed. But...
and then like,
and then she's
what
like...
about smaller stuff? What about hidden stuff? Wait, he wouldn't have hidden like manga and lewd magazines. No, he's not like that. But I don't want to get surprised anyway, so I guess we're good. I could cook. Oh, wait. Like, it's literally through this, like, cutest list of, like, little housewife shit that she's, like, all ready to do. Not that, like, everybody has to be a good little housewife. Please don't take that statement as that is what is necessary or should be. Anyway, that's my preface.
That is just,
it's just
her
very
choice,
cute.
And that she loves to do it. And
it's just very cute.
I also love, like, even when... again, he's at the bathhouse and he's talking to his kohai and she's like, you don't even know what marriage is. Are you sure you're going to be able to make this girl happy? He's like, I don't know what it entails. I don't know what I'm required to do. All I know is that I will put in every single effort to make her happy because I love her.
Yep.
And I'm like,
and it's like,
God damn it. I just want someone to look at me like that. Like,
God,
I
want someone
I
to look at
okay,
me the
we,
same way.
Can we
way
talk about two recurring themes that are the best? Number Go one. The shaking house or the shaking place of residence when something goes wrong. Whether it's the, you've been standing here since when? And the house is freaking out. And he's like, ever since you were doing the psyching yourself up move from slam dunk, which was
or the
pure
like
cold.
Or like, how long have you been standing there ever? Or how long have you been there ever since this happened? Oh God, that's embarrassing. Yeah. Again, because like all of the scenes I love are at the bathhouse when she was like in the bathhouse and then the older sister was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Cell phone.
I did.
Your skin is like an iPhone.
No, I love that she's like, the older sister is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I know you thought you were alone in here and I should have made myself aware, but like, I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, it's okay. You probably didn't see anything. No, I saw everything. It's like, okay, well, it's not like anything. Heaven's like, no, you even said, oh, this is like heaven. Nobody would want to be caught like a cliche. If I were caught like that, I'd kill myself. Like, hardcore. Like the, like
the second thing,
waifu is giving her every single out, like, it's, oh, perfect. You didn't hear everything, oh, you didn't hear everything, and she is just, she's not even digging a hole, she's fucking contracting a bulldozer at this point, like she just
jumping
keeps
off the
going
cliff. Anyway, the I second thing so the much. Second favorite, because that, like, you can't go wrong with that. It's hilarious. Every single time. Because, like, you remember what happens even... Oh, have you seen the episode with the sisters? With the sister and the two housemaids yet?
No. No.
Okay. That happens again in the next episode.
I was just introduced to the sisters.
Okay. When the housemaid starts taking off her clothes is the funniest scene. That whole episode. It's... There's the actual hentai right there. Anyway, but...
Shut the fuck
up.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's too wholesome.
No, this... No. I want you to know that is, like, the least hentai part of all of the hentai jokes that we made.
Yeah.
Was the one made that... Okay, you know what, Nate? I'm gonna set the scene for you, okay?
Okay, please.
So, Tsukasa has a stepsister.
Uh-huh.
And stepsister is...
What are you doing, stepbro?
Shut the fuck up. Is... As
Tim's mad at me for that one.
In love with Tsukasa, and is younger. They have these two housemates. One is not traditionally pretty, and the other one is the airhead that's a hottie.
Okay.
And if I was better with remembering character names, I would just name them.
Of course,
but
same.
The blue-haired waifu.
What?
The blue-haired waifu and the red-haired maid.
Okay, what I was going to say is one has maroon hair, and she's the non-traditionally pretty one, and the other one has, like, cyan-colored hair, and I was just going to call her Nate.
Listen.
Long story short.
What I was going to say
goes,
is,
hey,
listen, she's
I'm
hella cute
get...
and hella dumb. Must be just like me.
Okay,
minus the
so
cute
can I get
part.
Back to
yeah, 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 yeah.
Nasa gets kidnapped, basically, by the younger sister. Brought to the
they're hyper rich,
mansion.
By the way.
Yeah, of
they're,
course.
Oh, they're stupid fucking rich. Gets
they're
brought to
the
mansion, and. The younger sister's idea of how to break up the marriage is to take tabloid photos of Nasa-kun and Nate being very lewd together, and then show
nice.
Them to Tsukasa.
Hmm. Yes.
And so,
she mentions this out loud. Let me do this part. This is my favorite. She mentions this out loud, and they're like, "We just need to take tabloid pictures." Brings out the camera, and so Nate, the cyan-haired one, goes, "Oh, okay," and immediately starts stripping. No questions, nothing. Literally, there goes the maid part, there goes the secondary part, and the final dress
so
is starting to come
off. So I know
off.
What
it
I'm watching
to, like,
tonight.
Right here, and then the sister and the traditionally pretty one literally go, "No, what are you doing?" And, like, scramble, start putting her clothes back on. She's like, "Where is your shame? Where is your sense of modesty? Where is your sense of..." And, like, go through this whole list of stuff. And she's like, "But he's cute."
And I think the best part
that doesn't
is
mean you just get naked.
No,
and
I
then
think
he
the
escapes.
Best part about this is after they get her name is Charlotte. They
That's
get
right.
Charlotte back into her clothes and
and then her cage because she's not allowed outside anymore.
No.
No, actually
they put
it's
Charlotte
even better.
They get Charlotte back into her clothes and I think the worst part is then they take this tabloid photo, right?
No, you have to get to the where no, how no, they no, take no. no. You have to get to how they take the tabloid photo.
Oh, I was getting there. They okay. take this tabloid photo. Except what it really is the absolute greatest Photoshop masterpiece of my entire life. I have never seen something so fucking amazing. If my Photoshop skills were this good, I would have graduated college already my freshman year with a master's degree in chemical engineering because no one would have noticed the difference.
Anyway.
I could have gotten a community college degree.
Yeah.
And anyway, Photoshopped it into a master's in chemical engineering from Harvard, and no one would know the difference between the two pieces of paper.
Anyway, Tsukasa comes in, takes the picture out of Nasa-kun's hand, because he was like, what have you done? And she goes, And that's all I'm going to leave you with, because the rest is gold. But anyway, it's just perfect. Like, that's the next section that the shaking mansion happens, because then they escape. Anyway, the other thing is whenever somebody finds out they're married, and you have the three-word version of married in Japanese with the ever-progressing closer camera angle for anybody. It's just perfect. It's literally the show.
Paul did literally scream it in time as the younger sister screamed it as it zoomed in on her while I was watching. It was very funny.
So anyway, the show is super wholesome. Everything from shopping for new beds to getting new hair like stuff to getting lotion to getting.
I loved when they were getting all the lotions. Like, what does this do? What does this do? What does this do?
To him fixing the thing that I'm not going to spoil for Nate. Like,
I'll get there.
Super wholesome
quality moment.
It is literally my serotonin of the week every single week. I don't really need to say too much else.
No, not really. Honestly,
Nate.
Yes.
It's time.
Well, don't worry. I have a new one for you guys this week.
Oh boy.
And I think that you'll enjoy this. All right.
I swear to God, if this is another one that I've seen and or read, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Honestly, it might be knowing you and knowing the plot of this, but if not, I feel like it's something you would like.
Okay, so I should
this week's I can't believe I can't believe it's a light novel. There we go.
Zagan is feared by the masses as an evil sorcerer, both socially awkward and foul-mouthed. He spends his days studying sorcery while beating down any trespassers in his domain. One day, he's invited to a dark auction, where he finds that there is an elven slave girl of peerless beauty, Neffy. Having fallen in love at first sight, Zagan uses up his entire fortune to purchase her, but being a poor conversationalist, he has no idea how to properly interact with her. Thus, the awkward combination of a sorcerer who has no idea how to convey his love and his slave who yearns for her master but has no idea how to appeal to him begins. In an archdemon's dilemma, how to love your elf bride.
Yep, I've started it. It's actually really good.
It feels like a you book, Tim.
Honestly, you'd get a kick out of it. It's really
I definitely would. No, honestly, anything on my light novel list, I'd probably get a kick out of.
Yep. Nate.
Yes.
Tim, hit me with the hit me with the deets.
Thank you. Hey, Tim. Say, if I were a lowly internet goer and was searching for you, where could I find you?
You could find me.
That was such a horrible transition. Hold.
What
that was
the
a horrible
fuck
transition.
Are you talking? That was great.
No,
that was actually really good.
What? Because I called him a
lowly.
If I because I said
I
was a lowly internet
the whole
user.
Time.
No, the lowly internet user was fine. I was talking about the transition from the book to the we're ending the episode and getting each other's socials. Come on.
Now. Oh, sorry. I was going to Bookwalker, which for the the patrons that are watching this be recorded live, you can see it in my sunglasses.
Yes.
You can. Yes. I see Bookwalker.
We should, just so everybody knows, we're going to create our Bookwalker list on the Patreon at the $5 tier. And if you want to know the light novel titles at the end of every single episode, we're going to put up the Bookwalker links just for you.
So. And I have a list of every single light novel that we have listed. So
we're going to get you guys the links for all those. So if you want to read any of them, you can.
They probably won't be in the order that they showed up per episode simply because I haven't organized it that way. But
if you guys are looking for something other than books on the internet, like places to hang out with your favorite Studio Blank boys or places to watch some streams and some other forms of content, Tim, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitch and Twitter. And occasionally, this one's really spicy. Also still on Twitter. you can find me on Twitch and Twitter at SyndixAtrix, SyndixAtrix. And also, when I'm not as busy trying to pass my classes so that I can move out of the ever wonderful frat house that I live in and move to Tampa with the rest of these beautiful boys, running the Studio Blank Twitter at Studio Blank Pod. And you can find me in Discord, in the Studio Blank Discord, being a meme lord and talking about weeb shit.
Yes. All the time.
Paul, where do they find you?
Guys, you can find me all over the internet at I_love_Mondays, MUNDAYS, or on all your Rare Drops socials at twitch.tv/rare drop or twitter.com/rare drop co. Doing all the things. You can catch me on the Rare Drop channel live every Tuesday and Friday. Tuesdays for Rare Drop Roleplay Reckoning Hour, and then Fridays with the Studio Blank Boys as we do anime watch party nights. This week, we're actually coming up with something fun. We haven't quite decided yet. We're probably going to watch through Vinland Saga. So come hang out 7 p.m. ET at twitch.tv/rare drop.
Nate, it'll be a great time. Yes.
Where can they find you?
You're looking for me on the internet. You can find me at twitch.tv, fb.gg, and twitter.com/Confamous. Spelled the same way in every location. Boom. Easy. You can also find me on Instagram at Confamous because maybe I'll start updating that regularly.
You probably should.
I really should. I did have some excellent stories this past week, though.
I'll start posting more on there myself. Anyway, with all that said,
on my Instagram specifically,
we're going to have to cut this down because we're almost at a 2-hour episode. I love you guys. Have a great night. Mwah. Bye.
Bye, guys.